This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
These four blind men took hold, they've never seen an elephant before. And this was their first time. And so what they decided to do was to touch each part of the elephant and then say what an elephant is. So the first one took hold of the trunk and said the elephant is like a big snake. The other one took hold of the leg and said the elephant is like a tree stump. And the third one pushed against the elephant and said, "Wow, the elephant is like a wall or a sheaf of leather." Then the last one said, "You all are wrong. It's actually like a little furry mouse," because he took hold of the tail and was rubbing it on his face. Why have I given this illustration? I've given this illustration because I want to talk about grace. And the title of my message is All Grace. Okay? You know, sometimes we can take hold of something just based on the area that we know, and we focus on that area and we say, "This is the way it is." Amen. And sometimes I look at the way some of us talk about God based on the area where God has touched our lives. Amen. I know of people who can swear blind that God is a God of love. How many of you know that God is a God of love? And there are those who can swear blind that God is a God of judgment. How many of you know that God is a God of judgment? And there are those who can swear blind that God is a righteous God. It's true that God is all of those things. But if we begin to take hold of God from the bit that we know and describe God as that, then we make a big mistake. Amen. And so this is what I want to speak about, grace. I want us to look at what Paul was saying in the book of 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." What did Paul say here? Paul said, "All grace." So when I read that, "all grace," I began to ask myself this question. What is Paul talking about? When he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you," is there more than one grace? I then realized that Peter also, in his letter, also said in 1 Peter 5:10, he says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you." So I realized that Peter also was talking about all grace. Amen. But why did Peter say all grace? Peter was looking at the persecution that these people were going through. And he wrote to them and then said to them that make all grace that comes from God do what? Strengthen you, keep you alive, perfect you, establish you. Peter didn't stop there. He also went furthermore when you open to 1 Peter 4:8-10. This was quite interesting for me when I looked at this one. He says, "But at the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another." That's 1 Peter 4:8-10. It says, "But at the end of all things," I'm taking it from 7, sorry, but I'll take it from 8. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one of us has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of what? manifold grace of God. So I stopped there and I decided to go pick the dictionary and look at the word manifold. How many of you know what manifold means? Manifold actually means something with many, various parts, numerous, multiple, multiplex, diverse, various, several. So what Paul was saying here was that grace is diverse. So you cannot look at grace from just one angle. Amen. Because the minute you begin to look at grace from just one direction, then you will miss the arms of grace that helps us to live this Christian life. Amen. Let me be sincere with you. I've always looked at grace from one point, and I've always looked at it from, we're all saved by grace. Amen. But as I look at scripture over and over again, I began to realize that you cannot confine grace to just being saved by grace. That's why the theme for this month is actually empowered by grace. And I hope and I believe that by the time I finish teaching today, it will help you understand that when you hear the teaching of grace, let it not be a license for you to live your life anyhow. That grace is actually there to help you to be a better Christian. Amen. And there is another revelation which is not for today, about the spirit of grace. What is the spirit of grace? I'll leave that for now. Praise the Lord. But you see, one of the things that has always been of interest to me is the word of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. Which says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that they know me. You see, when we get to understand God, when we get to understand that the love that God has for us, when we get to understand the relationship we have with God, guess what we will understand? We will have a better understanding of grace. So Paul says God is able to make all grace. So let's take a moment to look at the different aspects of grace, because I'm convinced that if we have a true perspective of grace, we will be able to apply it to our Christian walk. Amen? When Paul and Peter say all grace and manifold grace, it therefore means there are variations of grace for different occasions. And that grace abounds to us in all things, at all times, having all that we need, and we will abound to every good work. Grace helps us to abound to good works. So let's look at the first grace, the first variation or the first aspect of grace for me. The first aspect of grace for me, I've called it common grace, but when I really look at it, I'm going to look at it from the point that grace belongs to God and it is a gift from God. Grace is from God and it is a gift from God. First and foremost, God loves everyone. Okay? God loves everyone. And the Bible clearly puts it, which is one of the most popular scripture in the world. I think it's one of the most popular scripture anywhere. Who can tell me what that scripture is? For God so loved the world. Amen. You see, God loves the world. That is grace. Amen. That whosoever believes in him. So he's given us grace, but there is a need for us to believe in him so that we will not perish. Amen. And the Bible also tells us in 1 John 14, it says that, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of, John 1:14, full of what? Grace and truth. Amen. So we can see that number one, grace is common and it is from God. Matthew 5:4 tells us, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the righteous. Can you, listen, if it was me, please, that's why I'm not God. If I was God, oh, there are people that I will not allow it to rain where they live. But constant sun, but I'm not God. You understand what I'm saying? So you can see the grace of God. That even when people are cursing him, even when people deny him, even when people say all the things they say about him, he still allows the sun and it allows rain. You know those people who don't have rain? They sing we are the world for them. You know why? Because there is famine. So that we can help them. But guess what? God loves each and every one of us. Grace. Amen. Saving grace is number two. Saving grace as found in Ephesians 2:8. It says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. By his saving grace, God has paid a ransom for everyone who will receive his gift of salvation. It is not based on how good we are, how special, how hardworking. But guess what? It is based on his unmerited favor. You know, Romans 3:27 actually blesses me. Because it says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what? The law of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. You see, because if we were saved by our works, some of us wouldn't go into heaven. Amen. If salvation was by how much money we have, we know that it will only be Bill Gates and all those kind of people who will go. You will not smell it. I will not smell it. But guess what? Grace of God. The saving grace through what? Through faith. That's why Paul is saying here that where is boasting then? It is excluded. Boasting is excluded because you cannot boast about it because it's the grace of God. Amen. Grace. Grace is there for sanctification. Verse number 3. Sanctifying grace. Titus 2:11. Philippians 1:16. But I'm going to take Titus 2:11 first. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. So you see, grace teaches you and I to deny ungodliness. Amen. To run away from worldly lust. That we should live soberly. When he talks about living soberly, it means you're not drunk on wine. You're not kind of a person that just runs about. You are self-controlled, righteously, and godly. When? In this present age. Which means that even right now, in the midst of everything that's going on, we can still live soberly and sanctified. And what does the word sanctification, what does it mean? It means you're being set apart. Do you know why you're called saints? You and I are called saints because we're set apart. Amen. And that's from sanctification. I am set apart. Amen. And that's why last week I was saying that we die daily. How many of you died yesterday? Only one person. How many of you died today? You know, we're still in the process of dying. You know why? Because I bet you, by the time you get out of this place, there will be someone who will come and test your patience. Even if it is at the petrol station, whilst you're trying to buy your fuel and someone jumps in and you say, Jesus loves you. We die daily.
One of the persons that really blesses me whenever I listen to her used to be Catherine Coleman, because I'll go and listen to her and I read some. She says, I die before I even get on the stage to preach. So there's a need for us to die in this present age. And God has given us what? The grace to be able to do it. Amen. Then he tells us that he who began a good work, hallelujah, is able to carry it through, bring it to completion. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Which means, as Christians, we can abstain from those things that brings displeasure to God. Why? Because of his grace. Amen. How many of you know that I can cheat on my wife? No. I'm just asking you. No. I'm asking you. How many of you know that I can? The only reason why I won't cheat on my wife is the grace of God. And the fear of God. Please, I want to say this to you. Let me give you a picture quickly so that you'll understand where I'm coming from. There are three people standing. They've been captured by Al-Qaeda. And they come to the first person and they say to him, are you a Christian? And he says, no. Goodbye. Remember, you're a Christian. You're the third person. They go to the second person. Are you a Christian? He says, yes. Boom. Then they come to you. Are you a Christian? You have 5 seconds to answer. It's the grace of God. To stand in this present age, it's the grace of God. For you to be who you are in your workplace, it's the grace of God. And that's why I do not take his grace for granted. I hope I'm making sense. 2 Peter 3:18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. We grow in grace. The more we get to know God, the more we draw closer to him, the more we get to know him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Sanctification is being set apart, separated from sin, excluding ourselves from everything that God hates. Amen. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, for a long time, this was one of my scriptures. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Which means that we can receive his grace in vain. Which means that we can live our lives without the grace of God. Amen. You know, sometimes people will say, Pastor, I couldn't come to that meeting. Oh, thank God for his grace. Don't thank God for God's grace, because that's not God's grace. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want to say something to you, because sometimes God has a reason for giving us the grace to serve him. Amen. There are times I have been tired of going to some meetings, but I have gotten up and I've gone. And God has done things that I didn't even expect. You can pray, it's the grace of God. You can sing, it's the grace of God. Do you know what I cry for every time I'm in the presence of God? That I might know you. That I might know you. Oh God, that I might know you. There is nothing as good as you knowing him. Listen, guys, let me just be vulnerable here. Ask that question. And I said, do you think I can cheat on my wife? That I can, but by the grace of God. I almost fell. By the grace of God. I want you to understand that. The grace of God. I remember that day as I was praying in my room, and the Holy Spirit began to chastise me.
about what was going on in my mind. And I went to my wife and I said, darling, this is what I've been going through. It's not that anything happened, but it was just what was going on in my mind. Listen, guys, run to grace. There's a reason why God has given us grace. And that's why Paul keeps saying, do not take this grace in vain. The grace you have received. How many of you, number four, we have provisional grace. What does that mean? You have money. It's the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, do you not know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Sorry, 8, 9. I know what my wife is doing. 8, 9. Okay. James 1, 16 to 17. Says to us clearly, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, they come from God. It is grace. Amen. God will not withhold any good thing from you. Even when it looks as though things are not going right, God will not withhold from you because he loves you. He cares about you. That's his grace. Do you know why Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh? It was at that point when he was to sacrifice his long-awaited son. There was nothing he could sacrifice whilst on that mountain, Mount Moriah. And God provided for him. And God blessed him. I think where we struggle sometimes as Christians is we do not know what is our seed. And we do not know which is our bread. So sometimes we eat our seed and we plant our bread. He says, the grace of God allows him to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen. So we need to be able to know which is seed and which is bread. Okay? The other day, someone blessed me. And I looked at the blessing and I said, oh my God, this is like David saying that he longs for the water. And the soldiers ran and they brought him the water. And he looked at it and he said, this is their life. And he poured it as an offering unto the Lord. When I looked at the gift the person had given to me, and I looked at what the person must have done to give me a gift for my 60th birthday, I said, no, Lord, this belongs to you. It does not belong to me. Because that's their sweat. Grace. Knowing which is your bread and which is your seed. Amen. It's called provisional grace. Hallelujah. Another grace is sustaining grace. Oh, no. Serving grace. This is quite interesting. I love this one. Ephesians 4, 7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Peter, you've done this before, so come out. Please come, Peter. Oh, no, sorry, I've forgotten. Rotimi, come. Remy, come. Because of time, I want to quickly do this. The grace God has given us to serve is like this. Remy is a pastor. She pastors a church of 50,000. Whoa. Rotimi is a pastor. They are married. And he pastors a church of 100. Should they fight each other? You see, God has given Remy grace to pastor a church of 50,000. He's given Rotimi grace to pastor a church of, how many did I say? 100. So he says, according to what? Measure of Christ's gift.
So it has nothing to do with you. Whether you're a prophet and you prophesy to millions, and you're a prophet, you prophesy to one, there's a measure of grace for you to live your life in harmony. Am I making sense? Thank you. You see, we just need to get to a place where we understand grace. Okay? Where we understand grace. God has made us stewards. He's given us grace to serve. He says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Amen? Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The one we don't like hearing is verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. We don't like hearing that. Okay? Sustaining grace. We have grace to sustain our walk with God. Sometimes we feel we can do all things in our own strength. Sometimes we feel we can live a life of holiness because we are saved, speak in tongues and know scriptures. I know all that. And so I hear Christians come to me and they quote scriptures, and I look at them, I look at scriptures, and I say they do not match. Amen. I was just talking to someone last night, and the person was telling me about Christians, and I said, look, you work for Sainsbury's. And in Sainsbury's, there are four staff. One of them is a very good staff. The other one is good staff. The other one is not so good staff. The other one is not so very good staff. I said, but if every time people come, they meet the not so very good staff, they will say everyone from Sainsbury is the same. You get what I'm saying? But there is one thing we've all got to know. As Christians, no one has promised us that we will not go through persecution. No one has promised us that we will not go through challenges. But sustaining grace says this. It says, three times I beseeched the Lord. And three times the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. It's the grace of God that sustains us. It's the grace of God that keeps us when people are persecuting us, when people are pushing against us. Paul says, there was a thorn in my flesh. I want to encourage you guys, read more on grace. But I'm going to show you, because of time, I'm going to show you why you need grace. There's abundant grace. There's grace to speak to people. Amen. Grace to speak. Let me do grace to speak, because this will bless you. Colossians 4, 5 to 6. It says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Many of us find it difficult to deal with unbelievers. We don't know how to talk to them. Okay, let's leave unbeliever. Some of us don't even know how to talk to our children or our spouses. Oh, you so and so. What is the grace? The Ephesians then tells us, he says this. He says, when we speak, let our speech bring grace to people's life. Amen? Let me end on this because of time. 2 months ago, I think it was, I was driving down the road and I was stopped by the police. They said I was speeding. Me? Speed? A lot of people say my driving is OAP, old age pensioner. So I came out and he was chatting. Then he said to me, I'm not going to give you a ticket. It's not my place to give you a ticket. Number one, grace. It's not my place to give you a ticket. Then he said, whose car is this? I told him, da 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 da, he went on. Then he said to me, then he started drizzling. And he said to me, Ah, Mr. Henshaw, I don't want you to get wet. Can you get into my car? I said, car? No. He said, no, Mr. Henshaw, everything is fine. So I got into his car. When I got into his car, they did some check and that kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. And then they finished. And then he said to me, Mr. Henshaw, you're free to go. And I came out of the car. I said, wow, thank you, Lord. How many of you know that him not giving me a ticket is messy? Okay. Him telling me you can go is messy. He said I was doing 40 to 45 on a 30 miles per hour road. But let me ask you a question. When he showed me mercy and I left, did the law of speeding, did it change? It remained the same. Amen. Now, what's mercy? Mercy is being forgiven for something that you deserve punishment for. So where is grace? Think about it. The man was merciful to me because he was gracious. So mercy is birth out of grace. That's why Hebrews 4 says, come boldly into the throne room of grace so that you may obtain what? Mercy. So we obtain mercy in the throne room of grace. And he doesn't just stop in obtaining mercy. He says, and grace to do what? To help in times of need. Which means every situation in our life, it doesn't really matter what we're going through. There is grace for us to live this life. That's why that scripture actually starts by saying that Jesus, our high priest, was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. But you know what's interesting? Every time I drive, I am careful. I check my speedometer. I check my speed. You know why? Because I've received mercy from a policeman. And I do not want to get into trouble again with a policeman. If you can just picture that the relationship we have with God. You see, when we know our relationship with God, I'm saying this to you. We will walk this life knowing that we are free from every bondage. I'm not bound by the law because I was not saved by the law. I'm saved by grace. But you see, every time I sin, this is what I do. I bound myself by the law. Go and read scripture. That's what Paul says. But every time I build that relationship and I do not want to cheat on God, I do not want to do the things that will offend God, I live a life filled with grace. And that's what Paul was trying to say. That listen, guys, you need to know what relationship is all about. The reason why he will not do the things he ought to do or the things that will have brought him to a place of sin is because of his relationship with God. The reason why Jesus did not fall to temptation was his relationship with God. How much love do you have in your heart for God? Amen. Don't, listen, guys, I'm like Paul here. I've not perfected it. I've not achieved it. But I am on my way. I am on my way. I constantly say to myself, God, please help me. I've messed it up. I don't want to mess it up. But the relationship I have with him is what is constantly bringing me to that place of repentance. Relationship is the key. Relationship is the key. You get what I'm saying? Grace is an unmerited favor or favor shown to someone. Amen. And we have received grace upon grace. Hallelujah. I'll end on this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, He says, for I'm the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am today by the grace of God. When Gary steps into this place and I look at where, the way he is, listen guys, it's by the grace of God that I'm in a suit and tie. It's the grace of God that I'm not lying on the street drunk. I remember my own years of mixing. But here I am, the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. It is the grace of God that is with you. When we have an understanding of the relationship we have with him, when we grasp the truth that grace is available for our everyday living so that we can live to please him, we'll know that it's God's grace that sustains and enables us to live a life of holiness. It has nothing to do with us. But his sustaining grace. His glorious and marvelous. How glorious and marvelous is God's grace to those who have an understanding of it. The more accurately we can define it and not just confine ourselves to one area of grace, then we will live a life of joy, a life of victory in Jesus' name. Why don't you say to someone, I am what I am by the grace of God.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.